Wow, it felt like fall this morning, right? We're ready for that. I'm tired of the hot days. So let me ask you, that list of 15 names, or the list I gave you out last week, did you put anything on that list? Oh, this is a test, okay. Just thought I'd ask. One of the guys on my list was named Jerry, and I connected with him on Wednesday of this past week. He has no clue. He's not a believer. And as I was praying for him, I was just thinking, wonder what God wants to do with him. And he has no clue I'm praying for him. But I saw changes in his life where he was a very vocal guy and was very using language that was not appropriate for church. He came to my house and didn't say one word like that. It was an improvement because of, I don't know, because of my prayers or just because I knew we were praying for him. So I want to encourage you, as we think through this, that you look at that list, write down names, and begin to pray for them. I've got eight, nine names on my list now. The last one I added was Bryce. Met him through a process, and so it's been really fun to start praying with these guys. Last week we talked about John chapter 15, verses 16. We're going to stay right there with that verse. And we'll start with that. John 15:16. I've got some questions for you. Let me read the verse this morning, and then we'll pray. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you right now and asking you to open the word to our hearts and that we will hear what you're saying through the scripture and that we will apply it to our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here's a question for you. When you understand that you've been chosen, your choice wasn't to choose him, he chose us. And he wants you to bear much fruit. So here's comes the question for you. What is fruit? Let's define what fruit is. Souls and faith? Could it be something different? Okay, fruit of the Spirit. All right. So, if you do not know what fruit is, how do you know you're being fruitful? Does that make sense? Because we're looking at what is fruit. Some people will say winning people to Christ is fruit, but what happens when you don't win anybody to Christ in 10 years? Now you're unfruitful. Is that not correct? True. You don't know. That's why it becomes a work of faith. See, if you try to define what fruit is, you have this one concept of what fruit is, and you're not doing it, are you going to pat yourself on the back, or are you going to go, woe is me? A lot of times we have to figure out what fruit is. I have several friends who want to be and is in a secular job, working really hard, and they're doing really good things, but they feel God's called them, and they have no clue what they're doing. What's happening is that there's a lady who has started 5 Bible studies in her home, and she feels like she is not fruitful because she has in her mind what fruitfulness is. Does this make sense? Sometimes we have what we think is fruitful, and we miss the obvious. When I was working on my graduate work, 2 years, and there were several pastors in my graduate work, and at the end of the 2 years, a lot of studying, a small cohort, my professor said to me, "Did you know that you're the pastor of this group?" I had no clue. I was a pastor of the group. I just loved people, cared for them, and met them where they were. And it was seen as being the pastor of the group. And I have no intentions of ever being the pastor of that group. But it was. I want you to look at what you're doing and seeing if there is fruit. Let me show you. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke chapter 10. And we kind of set this story in context. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to begin looking at verse 17. As Jesus was in the ministry doing this, he sent out 72 people, his disciples, and gave them authority over everything. All right? And here they came back in verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name." Okay? They're looking at that. He replied, and Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However," what's the next three words? "Do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice in what? That your names are written in heaven." So they saw all this magic, all this stuff that was happening, and they were excited about that. But Jesus said, "That's good, but what you need to understand is that your name is written in heaven, which is the source of everything." So let's go back to John chapter 15, and I want us to look at this. It says, "I am the vine," John chapter 15, verse 1, "I am the vine, the true vine." What does Jesus mean by saying he's the true vine? Well, in the Old Testament, Israel was seen as the vine that was brought out of Egypt. And so in the mindset of that concept, Israel was that vine. And when Jesus says, "I am now the true vine," he's saying that Israel is no longer the vine, but he's the true vine, and his Father is a gardener. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So let me ask you a question, practical stuff. How many of you prune fruit trees? Right? And as you're pruning fruit trees, why do you do that? Why do you prune a fruit tree? Make more fruit? And, you know, let's make this very practical. So in a sense, when you're pruning a tree to make it fruitful, are you not being more like God in trimming that with expectations that there will be a lot of fruit on that tree? All right, does that not make sense? So I planted tomatoes, and they said, "These little sucker plants, you got to pull all these little sucker things off because it affects the size of the tomatoes and the quantity of tomatoes." So in a sense, when you're pruning a tree or you're pruning a tomato, or you're cutting the ends off of onions so that the bulbs grow bigger, you are forming an act similar to what God is doing in your own life. He is trimming things in your life to make you more, what's that word? Fruitful. How does that feel? Sometimes it hurts, but there's some dead wood in your life that's holding you back, and he's cutting the dead wood. And then the live part of you, he trims, he prunes, so it will be more fruitful. And in those times when he's trimming, remember, the greatest thing is that your name is in heaven. Because he is trimming, he is pruning you, a child, his child, to be more fruitful. He is the gardener. And Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me or remains in me will produce much fruit. How are you doing in the fruit? And it may not be souls, and it may not be this, but what is happening within you? Are you more? Are you different? More different? Bad terminology. Are you different now than when you accepted Christ? One of the local celebrities here, and I'm not going to name his name, but he was a basketball coach, the most winning basketball coach in this area. You know what made him a great basketball coach? Was not that he wanted to win. He invested in the men, the boys in his basketball court. He invested in their lives. And as a result of his investment in life, he became the most winning coach. What are you investing in? I've got to go find fruit? No. You cannot produce a fruit. Let me show you what I mean. I went and some of you guys will know what this is. This is a limb off of a tree. And anybody know what kind of tree that is? Close. Let me show you this part. This is how you're going to know what kind of tree you are, is because this produces fruit. Now, do you know what it is? Black walnut. And you'll know it by their fruit. How will I know that you're a Christ follower? By your fruit. And what's that fruit? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Look at verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we have to abide by the Spirit, we're in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying other people. Wow. So how are you doing? How's the love? Are you loving one another? How's the joy? When things go awry in your life, is there still joy or is there anger? I have a relationship with Jesus, and I hope you do too. As we talk about this, there was a time in my life where I was just angry. Have you been angry just for no reason at all? Just angry? A lot of things in my life had been going kind of crazy, and I was angry. And one day I just said, Jesus, here's the fruit of the Spirit. There's love, joy, peace. Anger is not one of those things. Why am I angry? Do you ever have those kind of conversations with God? I do all the time. Because He's my Heavenly Father. He wants me to be fruitful. And I trust Him with my life. And I had to ask Him, and He said, well, this is, and He was very specific why I was angry. Once that became clear to me, I confessed my anger. And there was a joy that came in. Because, guys, if you're not working on bringing, abiding in Christ, staying in Christ, working with us, you can't be complacent and be a Christ follower. Okay? What happens in your marriage when you're complacent? What happens to your fruit tree when you're complacent and I am not going to trim that tree? It produces all kinds of leaves and a very little fruit. We're complacent. As a Christian, you cannot be complacent. Because if you become complacent and this is not attached to the walnut tree anymore, what's going to happen in 5 days? It's going to shrivel. In 10 days, the leaves will fall apart. So many Christians today are so disconnected from abiding in Christ. They're doing all the good things, and they're hoping they're producing fruit. Guys, if this message is one thing, is go back. If you find yourself disconnected, then say, God, why am I disconnected? What's in my life that caused me to be disconnected from you? And when you do that, He will point that out. Why would He point that out? Because He loves you, and He cares for you, and He wants you to be fruitful. He is your friend. He is your farmer. He is the dresser of your life. Now, look here, and it says, back to John chapter 15. John 15 says, and if you want to, you can count all this stuff. He says, he's talking to his disciples. He says, you've already been cleaned because of the word, which is Logos, and I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. So the question is, when we talked about fruit, what does it mean to remain? How do you remain in Christ? Hello, you awake? Good, smiles. How do you remain in Christ? This is simple. This is something you must do. Because if you don't do this, you will become complacent and you will be unproductive. Be in His Word and prayer. And not praying, just say, Lord, pray. But after you read Scripture, start praying along a Scripture line. So I'm praying for Jerry right now. Is it God's will that Jerry comes to know Christ? Yeah. So if I'm praying for Jerry, we're praying that he'll come to know Christ. What's the chances? What's the percentage that God will answer that prayer? He always answers. And he wants him to come to know Christ too. There's a 100% chance that he, as I pray this with lost people, they will come to know Christ. Now, the timing is an issue. It may not be in my lifetime. He's younger than I am. It may be in God's time, but I am praying that he will come to know Christ. Does that make sense? Have you ever planted a seed and you know it's going to last, take for 2 years before it grow, asparagus? When does asparagus start producing? It does not produce the first year you plant it, right? It's 2 or 3 years before it really starts producing asparagus that you can see. Your prayer life into people's lives will take time. And time from eternity will be seen out, but it may be a second or two from eternity. So here we are. Now then, along with this is how do we love one another? If anyone does not remind, he's like a branch. Okay, and look in verse. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love, and if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments. Remain in his love. Is it hard to be obedient when your parents love you? I was with a family the other day. We were at Applebee's, and a family of five, and so they are ordering their food, and the dad looked at the little boy. He's probably about 7, 8 years old, and he mumbled something. He looked at him and says, "No, I want you to look at the waitress, and I want you to tell him what you want." And so he ordered a hamburger and then yogurt with strawberries, okay? So they brought his food, and I said, I want one of your strawberries. That look on that kid's face was like, you want me to share my strawberries with you? Do you understand that look? It's like, I said, and then he said, here. Look on his face was priceless. What God is asking you to do is share how God has changed your life with others. Any of you used to have a violent temper? Not going to admit it. I did. Okay? And God's changed my life. There's a guy, if you'll look his name up, I'm not going to give you his name, but he's known all over the world in his specialty, and he traveled the world. He's a good guy. And they were in the mall, and their 3-year-old was in a roller coaster, whatever it is. And he wanted something, and his dad said no. Well, the kid just went bonkers. Used words that a 3-year-old should never know. And so this husband looks at his wife and says, how did he learn that stuff? And she looked back at him, said, he learned it from you. That changed the whole dynamics of that man's habit of parenting. Guys, you're modeling people. You're modeling what Christ looks like. What you're responsible to bear fruit that will last. What lasts forever? Souls and God's Word. Right? These are only two things that are going to last. What message are you giving by your life? That's a powerful thing. To understand that your faith, if you're a mom and dad, and if you've got kids, they've got to see you in action. If you're a grandparent, they need to see you in action. It starts in your home. How many of you have children's Bible stories for the kids when you read them? Yeah. You're starting there, and then they've got to see you care for your spouse and care for them and love them, and they become secure in who that is. And there's no difference between God. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to care for one another. He wants us to bear much fruit. So what keeps you from bearing fruit? Time. Pressures that is inside us and outside of us. So what do you have to do with that? My brother here and I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. From 4 to 5 is my quiet time. My day's crazy. I may be home at 9 o'clock. I may be home at 6. I don't know. But I blocked out that time to abide in Christ and to study and think through this whole thing that I'm doing. You cannot be complacent in your Christ walk. And you've got to model it. So think through your life. Think of yourself as you're in your Father's hand and He's pruning you for the purpose of making you more productive. What does fruit look like? I don't know. But I do know it's gonna be like Galatians 5:25-23. It's going to be like that. It may be changing yourself. So that you can be a witness to other people. It may be winning people to Christ. I've got friends who win people to Christ all the time. But it's really God working through him to draw people to him. I look forward, the next time I'm here, is seeing how God is using you in your context, how he's bringing people to Christ, and how you have changed. You know, jot it down. Think about it. How have you changed? Do you see fruit? And if you do, give honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word and thank you for your word that you're a caring Father. You really do love us and you really do want us to remain in you. It's not a complex situation. It's very simple. In fact, you sent your Holy Spirit here to help us. So, Father, we just ask that you guide us and direct us as we go through this week. Who are those people that you've placed in our lives that you want to see come to know you? What kind hand can we offer a friend or a total stranger and let them know that you do this because you're a Christ follower? Thank you for this opportunity, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.